You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I am officially running for President of the United States.
Primary consultant is myself because I have a very good brain and I've said a lot of things.
When you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
I like China. You can win against China if you're smart.
So don't tell me about China. I know China.
China.
I beat the people from China.
What the hell is going on?
It's time for State of the States.
Man, that sting is so good. I love that. That's right. Our weekly Thursday feature, State of the States, has returned, and we have some exciting new correspondents we'll be working with from WNYU News, which is the news department of New York University's radio station. This week, we hear from Nick Sowney, who spoke to my producer, Harry Willis, earlier this morning.
How has the week been over there in the States? I've seen John Brennan, he's commented on Russian ties this week. He believes there have been links with certain people in the Trump administration. What's going on here?
To be honest, this isn't really that big of a surprise. We've been hearing about Donald Trump and Russia so much over the past few months, ever since really he was campaigning. Every few weeks, someone has something to say about how Trump was connected with Russia. And I think most of the American people have kind of internalized that by now. And so these things aren't as surprising as they should be, I would say. Brennan, essentially, who's the ex-director of the CIA, he said that Russia, he used the term brazenly interfered in U.S. elections. He saw it as an interaction that raised questions, but he didn't see it as collusion about the election. But a lot of Americans and a lot of American analysts have come to that conclusion themselves.
Yeah, I did see that he avoided using the word collusion. Why is he not calling it collusion?
I honestly think it's to try to save himself as much as possible. You need to be, because if it comes out that there wasn't direct collusion, then he could be eating those words. But if he says, oh, they may have been talking, that protects him to a certain extent, right? I think he was doing it really to try to justify the FBI's investigation into Trump. He doesn't know for sure if there was collusion, but he says that if he says that they were talking to each other, that's enough of a reason for the FBI, who's the authority on this, to go in and do an investigation.
Fair enough. So the White House budget proposal's been released. What's of interest? Have there been any major cuts or any sort of big budget boosts that are noteworthy?
The thing with Trump's budget is he talks a lot about how he's cutting a lot of things. Really, what he does is, aside from cuts into Medicaid and into anti-poverty efforts, which are really two of the biggest ones, a lot of these are cuts to very small programs in terms of the larger scope of the government, things like our National Public Radio or some environmental organizations, which those cuts represent a very small percentage of the federal budget, but they are totally crippling to these organizations. It's really a lot of that, but I think the thing of note here is how divisive both the budget and a lot of Trump's other recent actions have been just to the Republican Party itself, right? Like, there's no longer just conservatives and liberals in the United States. I think there's the left, and then there's moderate conservatives, and there's far right. A lot of the sort of nationalistic conservatives. And Trump is having to sort of balance between the wants of both of those conservative groups, and giving to one makes them less popular with the other. Because the moderate conservatives are just more about, what's the best small government approach, whereas there's also the conservatives that are sort of more extreme, that just want to see big changes in terms that are okay with larger government if it's in areas that they want to see improved, like Medicare cuts and things like that.
So where on that spectrum do you think Trump is currently fitting?
I think right now he's he's definitely, especially this week, started leaning a little bit more towards the moderate conservative side while still making these huge cuts in inconsequential areas to appease the more extreme supporters. But I think, like, especially with his actions in the Middle East this week, he's really started moving away from the voter base that won him the presidency, which was the sort of more nationalistic extreme conservatives.
So do you think this budget's being received well? Are people praising it?
No, I think that it's getting criticized from both sides, really. The Republican Party is so divided that it would be hard to pass either form of the budget. There's a really interesting article in the New York Times by Thomas Kaplan yesterday that talks about how the Republican Party is really divided. And what that means is that means you're not going to be able to appeal to both sides of it, and appealing to one won't get you enough votes to pass the budget.
So I've seen that there's been $1.6 billion that's being allocated to border control. Well, $2.6 billion for border control, but $1.6 is specifically for a border wall. Is this looking likely that there is going to be a border wall built?
You know, that's hard to say right now, because Donald Trump has been, you know, at first he promised that we wouldn't have to pay for the wall at all, and now he's proposing putting a bunch of money into the wall. And, you know, even if $1.6 billion is not even enough to touch how much it would cost to build a wall like that. John Oliver did a really good segment on this actually like quite a few months ago. But, you know, that $1.6 billion is not going to be effective in actually getting any semblance of like an effective, if you think that a wall would be effective at all, an effective sort of border security thing. You know, it really seems to be more of a face-saving maneuver than something that'll actually turn out into anything physically real, you know.
So I've seen with the budget, he's cutting up to something like up to 80% of aid that's heading out to the Middle East. And speaking of how he's been visiting there at the moment and he's been trying to create ties, is that a contradiction with building the relationships over there?
Kind of. You know, Donald Trump's actions in the Middle East have been very confusing to a lot of people. You know, I think, like, here's an example, right? He totally turned off the anti-Muslim rhetoric that won him the presidency, right? And while that's made a lot of the American media suddenly become quite happy with Donald Trump, a lot of his supporters and a lot of Muslim Americans have started just seeing that as a way that he's being more untrustworthy because he's just saying these things, right? And even if they're cutting aid, we're still sending monetary support to the Middle East, as seen by the $110 billion arms deal we made this week with Saudi Arabia, right? Money is still being pumped into the Middle East. This is just more of like, again, it seems to be Donald Trump is doing a lot of face-saving maneuvers without, you know, the real policy implications of those being able to totally see the light of day.
So do you think his trip to the Middle East, it's over now, has been successful? Has it been more of a business trip rather than political?
You know, I'm not sure, right? Donald Trump definitely turned on that art of the deal side of him on this trip. You know, he talked about, especially with the arms deal in Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia also has had this plan since 2002 that they've been wanting American support on that would sort of help, according to them, create peace in like the Israel-Palestine region. Donald Trump has been trying to use his, as he says, deal-making skills for that. And Donald Trump thinks it's a win because the $110 billion that arms deal with Saudi Arabia has totally, you know, it's increased stock value for defense industry in the United States. You know, he's talking about how this is going to help us fight Iran, even though the way that that's going to play out is in a proxy war in Yemen. And so to him, it's a win, though the actual, you know, what we're actually going to see might not really be that different than what's going on now.
Excuse me. I'm really rich.
That was State of the States.
Bye-bye.
How stupid is this?
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.